Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 122. We're going to begin by reading 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses." And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses, and take thought for us." Now, I'll stop reading there. We've come to really a difficult place in the book of 1 Samuel. And you wouldn't think this because it just seems to be a plain historical account. Nothing too exciting is happening in this chapter, and actually in the foreseeable future, in the next couple of chapters in this book. But the difficulty is not in trying to explain some big thing. The difficulty we have is trying to understand the gospel meaning. As we know that when God wrote the historical books of the Bible, and Samuel is a historical book, that these are also historical parables. And everything we read has a deeper spiritual meaning, a gospel meaning. We need to understand the historical parable, just as Christ spoke parables. If we would read one of the parables of Jesus and not be able to understand the emphasis that the parable was dealing with, then we wouldn't really have a very good understanding of what Christ had said. And likewise, if we read a book of history and we learn all the history about it in that sense, yes, we've learned some things, but if we haven't found the gospel meaning, then it's just as a parable that we did not learn the point of the parable. And that's where we've come in 1 Samuel 9 as we've entered into a chapter in the next few chapters, which will be focused on Saul. Saul's a very important figure. He's going to be a central character in this book and in the Bible itself. And so we do hope to learn more about him. But the problem is, for instance, in the verses we just read, Kish sent Saul, his son, with a servant to find the missing asses. Well, what is the spiritual meaning of that? Now, let me give you an example. I'll just change the situation and we'll quickly see how something like this could be full of gospel meaning. Let's say that the father is Jesse, the son is David, and the missing animals are sheep. And Jesse sends David, his son, to find the missing sheep. We can right away quickly see, well, then Jesse's probably a picture of God. And David certainly is a type of Christ who is seeking the lost sheep, who would be representing the house of Israel or the elect, those sinners out in the world that the Lord Jesus seeks and finds. All of that would be very fitting. It would match everything else we read in the Bible. But that's not the situation here. Here we find the father is Kish, the son is Saul, not David, and the missing animals are asses and not sheep. And so what are we to make of this? Well, let's think of the type of animal that God has given us. The asses, it is possible that they could represent believers. They could represent sinners that are lost in their sin that need to be found, just as sheep. For instance, if we go to Exodus 13 and verse 13, and we'll look at a handful of verses that will give us a pretty good idea of how God speaks of asses or donkeys in the Bible. In Exodus 13:13, it says, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." And we know right away that the firstborn of man who needs to be redeemed, well, that is teaching us that the sinner needs the redemption of Christ. But so is the firstling of an ass that needs to be redeemed. It's teaching exactly the same thing. And if the firstling of an ass is not redeemed, it is to have its neck broken. That is, it is to die. It is to come under the judgment of God. And that's exactly the case with any individual, any person who does not have the Lord Jesus redeem them, then they come under the wrath of God. Another place we read about an ass is in Judges chapter 15. And this is a passage that is describing Samson, who was judge of Israel in his day. And it says in verse 14 and following, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi." And we'll end reading there. And, you know, without Christ's direction, without his guidance, informing us that without a parable he did not speak, and without us realizing, only by the grace of God, that Christ is the Word, and therefore the whole Bible, and that directive, without a parable he did not speak, applies to all Scripture, we would have no way of understanding the true meaning of this passage in Judges 15. And why in the world would God even give us this information? Yes, it's interesting. It's exciting to think of a man, a strong man like Samson, just picking up a jawbone of an ass and using it as a weapon to kill 1,000 men, but it wouldn't go beyond that. What an exciting little bit of information, something to dazzle children with as they read their children's stories of the Bible. And yet it's far more than that. This is the Word of God, and it is teaching us the gospel. Well, what could it possibly teach us about the gospel? Samson is a type of Christ, and Samson takes up a jawbone of an ass. He didn't take up the hindquarters or a leg or any other bone, but the jawbone. And the jawbone is the mouth. Or we have the actual account in another Bible book, in the book of Numbers, where the ass's mouth is opened by God and speaks. And that's what the jawbone would do. When Balaam's donkey was given the ability to talk, it was through his jawbone that he spoke. And the ass here is representative of mankind. It's actually a very good animal to represent men, since asses are stubborn and rather dumb animals, and so are men. We stubbornly persist in our sinful ways, regardless of God's warnings to us that the way we're going will end in destruction and a guarantee of ending badly in our rebelliousness and stubbornness and our mule-headedness, as the expression goes. We persist, and unless God intervenes, we will finally be destroyed. And it's all because we're stubborn sinners. And so the ass is a good picture of man. And here, Samson, a type of Christ, takes the jawbone, that is the mouth of man, is what's in view. And how has God determined to send forth his word? How has he decided in his infinite wisdom that he will send the gospel into the world, and he will, through that gospel, slay the unsaved, as the word of God brings them condemnation, and he will save the saved, who also are slain as they die in Christ? Well, God is determined to do it through the foolishness of preaching, or through using the dumb animal, stubborn man. And so Christ moves and wills within his people to teach them the truth of the word of God. Then he opens up their mouths to proclaim these truths to their fellow man, and by it he slays 1,000 men, as the number 1,000, a multiple of 10, 100,000, or 10,000. They all spiritually represent the same thing, the completeness of what is in view. So God, through this mean way, through this rather simple method of taking up a jawbone, typifying his use of the mouth of man, he is able to accomplish his purpose in sending the gospel to the world. And then notice, it's confirmed we're on the right track, because after Samson does slay 1,000 men, it says in verse 17, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand." So the jawbone is related to Samson's speech, and Samson is a type of Christ once again. Therefore, his speaking would be identified with the word of God. Well, I referred to it a little bit ago, but let's turn to Numbers 22, and we'll just read a couple of verses of Balaam's donkey. And let's keep in mind how this donkey has had its eyes open to see the angel of Jehovah stand in the way against Balaam and against the donkey himself, because Balaam was riding him, and turned out of the way. Balaam could not see the angel of the Lord standing there with his sword drawn, ready to slay him. But the donkey, the ass, could see it. And he turned out of the way, I believe, three times, and Balaam smote him each time. And then it says in Numbers 22, in verse 31, "Then Jehovah opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of Jehovah standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of Jehovah said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." This language has everything to do with salvation. But Balaam isn't the one who it's spoken of, but the ass. The ass saw the angel of the Lord, where Balaam did not. Therefore, in a sense, the ass was given spiritual sight. The ass was even given a mouth to speak, as God opened up its mouth to protest against Balaam. And finally, the Lord says of the ass that he saved her alive, and that is redemption language. That is language of salvation. We are saved from sin and death. So in this way, too, that donkey or ass typifies the believers. Let's just turn to one more place to look at an ass in Matthew chapter 21. And in this chapter, we would read of Christ and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it says in verse 2 of Matthew 21, Jesus is speaking to two disciples, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." Now, this language right away here is very interesting, because this is the language of binding and loosing. Remember earlier, it was stated in Matthew 16 and verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That language of binding and loosing has everything to do with salvation, as the Lord Jesus has given his people the gospel. And it's the gospel that God may, having had bound an individual in heaven, keep them in their bondage to sin. And it's the gospel that may, having loosed an individual in heaven, that is God taking the prior action in his salvation plan, that looses a sinner. And this is spoken of the ass. It was tied, and that's the same word as bound. And the command to the disciples is, "Loose them and bring them unto me." And we don't read it, I think, in Matthew, but in another account, we read that no man had sat upon the ass before. And it goes on to say here in verse 4, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass." This is the Lord Jesus, and how he entered triumphantly, gloriously into Jerusalem. He was sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. What a humble way for a king, the king of all kings, to enter into the city Jerusalem. And yet Christ did so. Why? Why would he be sitting upon an ass? Well, as king, he is demonstrating that he now reigns. And remember, to sit in the Bible is language of ruling. And this ass that none had ever sat upon, none had ever broken it, none had ever humbled it, and none had ever ruled over it, now had the Lord of glory, the King of kings, sitting upon it, ruling it. And this is the case with sinful men and women that the Lord Jesus has saved. He has broken them in heart. He has humbled them and made them to be in subjection to himself. And now he reigns as Lord and Savior, and as the one and only one deserving of worship. And so we see this in this picture. So we've gone to these verses just to show how asses can typify believers. So that is possible, as Saul is sent by his father to find the lost asses, that could be a picture of the sending forth of the gospel. And yet, historically, if we would read the whole account, we'll find out that Saul and his servant never found the asses. They never found that which was lost. And perhaps that's the key. It could be, and I am saying could be, not exactly sure, because, again, of the individuals that are involved in this, but it could be that the commission is given to seek and find the asses and return them to his father. But since Saul, we know, is not a child of God, he is not a true man. Now, we'll also see that he appears at first in his life to be a very humble man, and he gives appearance of a true believer in several ways. Yet the facts are the facts, and we know it won't be long, and he'll be rebelling against God and seeking to destroy David, a true man of God. And an individual can never lose their salvation. So it's not possible Saul was saved and then something happened to him. It's obvious that from later accounts that he never, he's not saved then, and therefore he never became saved. And it could be that given the task of finding the lost asses, that's a task that God gives to his people. And yet Saul never accomplishes the fulfillment of that task, as those in the churches and congregations, for instance, were given the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and teach all nations. But they're not just to preach a gospel of theology, a gospel of confessions and creeds. They're to preach the true gospel of the Bible. And they're to seek and define the lost sheep. And that can only be done by the sending of the true and faithful word of God. And since the church has failed to uphold, to adhere to God's word faithfully, then therefore they have failed in their task to find those that were lost. And actually God holds them accountable for this. We read about this in Ezekiel 34. And the animal here is a sheep, but it's the same idea. In Ezekiel 34, in verse 2, it says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And then in verse 4, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Here the Lord is telling us the effect of the failure of the churches and congregations to teach the truth. Yes, they sought the lost sheep with their programs and with their idea of what the gospel is, but in effect that is not seeking the sheep at all, because the sheep do not respond to the sound of another. They only respond to the sound of Christ, to the sound of the truth of the scriptures. Well, anyway, that would seem to be what's in view here, that Saul and his servant are sent by Kish to seek the lost asses. They never find them. Samuel tells them later that not to worry or concern themselves. The asses have been found. And that could be just God informing us that even though the churches were given the task, and as all professed Christians, to go forth with the word of God, the gospel, to find the lost sinner, that even though they greatly failed in their mission, in their responsibility, in their duty to do this, the Lord always accomplishes his purpose, and his word never returns void, as we've just witnessed. It's not the almost 2 billion professing Christians in the churches that sent forth the gospel into all the world to warn the world of judgment day. It was God's people without the churches who took that duty on, and God blessed the proclamation of the news to all the world in a tremendous way, in an unprecedented way that the world had never seen. And so we could say that Saul, those in the churches and congregations, failed their duty, and yet God nevertheless had others that did perform it. Well, we'll stop here, and Lord willing, in our next study, we'll continue looking into 1 Samuel chapter 9.